Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
This one goes out to you and yours. Worldwide. I say, hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back all around the way. Seems like everywhere I roam, the more I see, the less I know. But I know one thing, that I love you.
Michael Fronte.
I've been a lot of places all around the way.
And your artist of the day. Good afternoon. Welcome back. Dana Wright is back from vacation. What? What are you giggling about over there?
Just a nice little... We didn't go anywhere. It was nice to kind of just...
You went golfing?
Be here, yeah. Could not have had better weather.
Ellen DeGeneres is back on television.
Oh, yeah, that was appointment television. Did you see it?
What? No, I read it. I didn't see it. What happened?
Well, you know, this summer was what it was for her, and I think everybody's kind of been waiting to see if she was going to quit, if she was going to be taken off the air.
There was talk that she might quit.
Talk that she could be replaced, and so she came right out to a virtual audience, and... Here's what she said.
Oh, boy. Welcome to season 18 of the Ellen DeGeneres Show. If you're watching because you love me, thank you. If you're watching because you don't love me, welcome. How was everybody's summer? Good? Yeah? Mine was great. Super terrific. I'm so happy to be back in the studio. There are a lot of things I want to talk about. I've been looking forward to addressing it all directly, and unfortunately, talking directly to people has been illegal for 6 months, so I have a virtual audience here instead. Here you all are. You look beautiful, and I'm sure you smell great. That's what I'm imagining anyway. All right, let's get to it. As you may have heard, this summer there were allegations of a toxic work environment at our show. And then there was an investigation. I learned that things happened here that never should have happened. I take that very seriously, and I want to say I am so sorry to the people who were affected. I know that I'm in a position of privilege and power, and I realize that with that comes responsibility, and I take responsibility for what happens at my show. This is the Ellen DeGeneres Show. I am Ellen DeGeneres. My name is there. My name is there. My name is on underwear. We have had a lot of conversations over the last few weeks about the show, our workplace, and what we want for the future. We have made the necessary changes, and today we are starting a new chapter.
Okay, let's stop right there. Just push pause in case we want to play some more.
Wait. You say no to this already?
I don't believe a word coming out of her mouth.
No, keep going. Keep right. Listening.
There were also articles in the press and on social media that said that I am not who I appear to be on TV because I became known as the Be Kind Lady. And here's how that happened. I started saying be kind to one another after a young man named Tyler Clemente took his own life after being bullied for being gay. I thought the world needed more kindness, and it was a reminder that we all needed that. And I think we need it more than ever right now. Being known as the Be Kind Lady is a tricky position to be in. So let me give you some advice out there. If anybody's thinking of changing their title or giving yourself a nickname, do not go with the Be Kind Lady. Don't do it. The truth is, I am that person that you see on TV. I am also a lot of other things. Sometimes I get sad, I get mad, I get anxious, I get frustrated, I get impatient, and I am working on all of that. I am a work in progress, and I'm especially working on the impatience thing because, and it's not going well, because it's not happening fast enough, I will tell you that. Listen, you know, I don't know, I'm a talk show host and you know that, but maybe some of you know that, you know, I was an actress. I've played a straight woman in movies, so I'm a pretty good actress. But I don't think that I'm that good that I could come out here every day for 17 years and fool you. This is me, and my intention is to always be the best person I can be. And if I've ever let someone down, if I've ever hurt their feelings, I am so sorry for that. If that's ever the case, I have let myself down and I've hurt myself as well because I always try to grow as a person. I look at everything that comes into my life as an opportunity to learn. I got into this business to make people laugh and feel good. That's my favorite thing to do. That and Jenga. I love that game.
Still no?
And now...
And the more she talks, the more annoyed I become.
Really?
Yes. This is a serious topic.
It is.
And she's trying to throw in...
She's a comedian!
My name's there. It's there. It's on everybody's underwear. This isn't funny.
Okay.
And she's literally trying to throw in a joke every 2 seconds. You are accused of leading a toxic work environment. There are people who say that working for you is like hell on earth. That's not funny. And I, for one, am the first to say, let's make a joke, let's have a fart, whatever. But this is not the time for a joke. You are accused, and your show is accused of having some very serious problems. And you want to come out and say, my name is there, it's on everybody's underwear. First of all, your name is not on people's underpants.
Well, I haven't checked. Now, Sam and I watched this in the newsroom, and I said to him, I said this to my husband, I think she did the best she could under the circumstances where you are trying to toe the line of, we're here to have fun, we're here to have a laugh, I'm here to make you laugh, that's what I do. And I love the line that I'm a lot of other things. I was an actress. I'm this, I'm that. Sometimes I'm sad.
I played a straight woman on TV, so you know I can act.
Well, you know, but she's also a comedian, Scott, and people tune in to watch something uncomfortable, but also you kind of want to laugh a little.
But Dana, let me ask you this.
It's like when Marv Albert went on or when
he wears underpants
on his head. Hugh Grant went on
David Letterman
and said, I did a very bad thing. And everyone tuned in to see what he was going to say about that.
I know. And he didn't make a joke about getting from a hooker.
I think it's a really difficult line to toe.
Let me ask you this, and I want you to tell me the truth.
Okay.
If something had happened behind the scenes at this show, okay, on the show that you and I provide.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not going to say my show. I hate it when people say, this is my show. It's not your show.
Well, your name is on it.
That's true. My name is part of it. That is correct. But Dana, if something bad had happened on this program, okay?
Okay.
And we needed to come clean with the audience, okay?
Yeah.
And here I am, blah, blah, blah. Here's the serious part about what we need to come clean
and
about.
Now we're going to tell Joe.
And then, by the way,
yeah.
Hey, Sam, play another fart. You would look at me and we would go to the break and you would say to me, cut it out.
Yeah,
this is
serious.
This is not a time for jokes. Level with the people. Be honest. But quit screwing around. This isn't time for jokes, Scott.
Okay. You're right. Maybe you're right.
Well, and here she is. Hang on just a second, Sam, if I could. And here she is with the first time she's been back since the allegations of a toxic work environment. And all she is cutting the rug. the entire time she's trying to sort of semi be serious. It's garbage. I'm not buying a word of it. And there's nothing
but
you could say to me to convince me she didn't know what was going
let
on.
Well, yeah, that's maybe true. But let me give you a but. She does say as part of that apology, I could not have been here 17 years and not be the person that I am. Meaning, for 17 years, do you honestly think I've been faking this for 17 years?
Yes.
Oh, I don't, Scott. Dana, I don't.
Dana,
that's where you and I are going
to
disagree.
Back to my original point, though. If we had something that we needed to come clean with the audience about,
yeah,
and I'm sitting here trying to cut the rug, you would light me up and you would be absolutely right.
It's interesting that she focused on the impatience part of it. Mm-hmm. She specifically about the impatience part of it. And if she was really hell to work for, impatience probably played a big role. And
oh, yeah.
So she emphasized that by making a joke about it, mm-hmm. which makes me think that it's a fraud.
And then she promoted publicly her mixologist DJ guy to co-executive producer on the air.
I don't believe a word that came out of her mouth.
I believe that it is impossible to, quote, be the kind lady 24/7. That sometimes you just want to be left alone and you want to have a bad day. And you can't be happy all the time, but people expect you to be happy all the time. And that would kind of be a crummy position sometimes to be in, despite her millions.
She needed to be serious. Her employees were hurt and some were fired. From the text line, Scott, there is a rumor that you were suspended for 2 days last month. True or false? False.
False.
I was not suspended last month at all. I haven't been suspended in a while.
The counter's getting pretty high up there.
I saw her today at the reception. A glass of wine in her hand. I knew she was gonna meet her connection. At her feet was a footloose man. You can't always get what you want. You can't always
Rolling
get
Stones.
What you want.
Here on Denon Parks.
You can't.
Let's go to Captain Get Off My Lawn, and that is Jim in Topeka. Hello, Jim.
Yes, and my lawn is 230 acres worth, so I got a big one and a big attitude to go with it.
Good for you, buddy.
Now, with Ellen following what's called micro-expressions, how that you can hear the truth in even part of her words, there was nothing what she said or how she said it that was real. That's why I've listened to more Ellen DeGeneres today than I've listened to in 18 years.
Hmm.
And I'd like to have those few minutes of my life back. But it's completely fake. There's nothing of what she did, what she's going to change, or anything else. It's all almost as good as a psychic telling you have a nice day. Take care, my friend.
Whoa, Jim, you can't just... No.
You always just drop the mic and want to leave us.
All right, I'll stay.
So you obviously don't like Ellen DeGeneres, is that correct?
I don't like fake.
Well, but and you did. Hang on. You said you haven't watched her in 18 years, which is to say you've never watched her. How do you know she's fake?
You can hear it in the voice. You can hear it in the way that she talks, the way that she expresses herself. There is nothing sincere with what she says or how she says it, especially how she says it.
Okay. Has nothing to do with her sexual orientation.
That is correct.
Okay.
I have better things in my life to do than be around fake people.
Okay. Hey, Jim, get off my lawn and I'll stay off yours, okay?
Okay.
All right, buddy. I love that guy. Steven in Lenexa. Hello, Steven.
Preach on, Brother Scott, man. This woman is this is one of those apologies where I'm sorry if you're offended apology. So this is the biggest phony baloney woman I've ever seen. She was this person for 18 years. She just got her hand caught in the cookie jar. She wants all the money and all the fame that comes with it. She is one of the most hated women in showbiz history. They had a donation program for the food bank that if you share the story, I'm sure it's all over the internet, and it made a lot of news stories, that people would contribute a story of how horrible she is, and someone would donate $300 to the local food pantry. So at least we got something good out of it.
I did see that. But, Stephen, how would you like it if someone said to everyone you've ever met, tell me something bad about Stephen?
I would love it, because I would be like Scott. I would have a laugh because I know I'm not that person. I don't treat people. She called into a restaurant because somebody's nails were too long or something. She is a bad person. You have to call out horrible bad. I don't care what her sexuality is.
Huh?
I don't care who she dates. She is a miserable, horrible woman. Ooh. And needs to be called out. In public, fire her, whatever, do it. Okay. I love it. I mean,
okay.
Finally, right. The social
Steve,
media is
Steve.
Working the right way.
Steve.
This is how social media should work.
Okay.
We should call out the horrible, miserable people that deserve every single thing that she got over 18 years. It's Rosie O'Donnell. It's Rosie O'Donuts all over again.
Rosie O'Donuts? Is it?
Wow.
Well, okay. I mean, it's true.
Steve.
I mean, Rosie, everybody thought Rosie was a wonderful person, and then it all came back around her. Ellen is just sorry that she got caught.
Okay.
She's just sorry she got caught red-handed, right. And she's sorry if you're offended.
All right, Steve, are you done with that sentence? And that was a run-on sentence, and that was really long. Okay. What?
Stop
talking. What are you currently behind the wheel of?
I'm sitting at a rest stop on K-10. I'm sitting.
No.
And
Kelly,
not, and,
no, no, no,
and
no,
Kelly
no.
Kelly Ripa's next, too. Kelly Ripa's coming down. I got into her, too.
Steve, what car are you currently driving?
I'm in a Ford Focus. I'm sitting. I have my cell phone off.
Steve!
I may have had some pain medication early in the day, but it wore off, so I'm feeling pretty good.
Steve!
I'm not feeling too bad.
Shut up! What? You're behind the wheel of a Ford Focus. What color is it? That's a one-word answer.
It's a white Ford Focus.
No. Okay, all right. So it's white.
It's whiter than white. I went to the car wash this morning.
Steve, stop. I don't care. I don't care. All right.
I cleaned it up. I washed it while I was taking my pain medication.
Well, that's what we're afraid of. All right. So you're in a white Ford Focus. Yes. And what is your current location for the general public, please?
I'm heading west on K. Well, no, I'm not moving, but I will be heading west. Out on K-10, the pain medication's wore off,
no.
My car is clean.
No!
God bless America, Trump 2020. God bless America, Trump 2020.
6 o'clock already, I was just in the middle of a dream. I was kissing Valentino by a crystal blue Italian stream. But I can't be late, cause then I guess I just won't get paid.
So these are the days. God bless America. Trump 2020.
That crazy SOB. God.
So, John Grayson just posted this meme.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell you who the picture is, but it says on the top, a large group of Karens is called.
Oh, Lord. What?
A homeowners association.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Story here from the New York Post, so you know it's kind of true. An Iowa City teacher has been placed on leave. An Iowa City teacher has been placed on leave for assigning students to, quote, pretend you are a black slave.
Oh, God, why do people do this?
The controversial assignment asked students to pretend that they were enslaved and asked what they would do if they were freed. Quoting here from the assignment, according to the Iowa City Press Citizen, think very, very carefully about what your life would be like as a slave in 1865. You can't read or write, and you have never been off the plantation that you work on. What would you do when you hear the news that you are free? What factors would play into the decision that you make? Now, wait a minute. When I first read the headline, my first thought was, oh, why? That's actually not a half bad assignment.
It is a ridiculous assignment. If you are trying to teach them what life must have been like back then, A, I don't know how you do that. But you certainly don't ask a bunch of middle class or upper middle class kids who all have the latest iPhone, how would you escape the plantation?
No, you weren't escaping the plantation. The Civil War has just ended. You've just been freed. Where do you go? How do you make a life?
Okay, so you know the answer to that question. I had this conversation with my daughter in my kitchen today. They're actually doing an assignment on this, but not that ridiculous.
I actually, the more I read that story, I don't think it's that ridiculous.
One of the things I tried to tell her, because they were talking about the freeing of the slaves, I said, well, they might have said slaves are free, but they weren't free. If you go back and look how long it took for everyone to, quote, get on board with the slaves are free, it, in some cases, Scott, was years.
It took over 100 years.
Years and years. And so what would you do? Your life would probably still look exactly like it did the day before. There weren't phones. There wasn't an internet. Who was going to tell you you were free? No one's going to tell you you're free.
No, but word got around that the Civil War was over. The slaves had been freed. The Union was back together. In fact, I believe it was a city in Texas. Was it Galveston? That was the last city to find out that the Civil War was over. I don't think this assignment is that bad. The headline makes it sound horrible. But when you read the bulk of the story, when you read the body of the story, God forbid we make young people actually think. What would you have done, privileged Iowa City kid, if you had been in bondage for your entire life and all of a sudden you find out that you're free to go?
So this is from The Guardian a couple of years ago, but it doesn't matter. There's a book that looked into this, casting a shadow over one of the most, quote, celebrated narratives of American history, which sees the freeing of the slaves as a triumphant righting of the wrongs. But in the book Sick from Freedom, the reality of emancipation during the chaos of the war and its bloody aftermath often fell brutally short of that positive image. Instead, freed slaves were often neglected by Union soldiers or faced rampant disease, horrific outbreaks of smallpox and cholera. Many of them simply starved to death.
Mm-hmm.
They believe a quarter of the 4 million freed slaves either died or suffered from illness between 1862 and 1870.
I actually think this is a really good question.
It's a good question if your goal is to get them to understand that the moment we decided let's free the slaves wasn't a moment at all. I mean, we celebrated, and it should be, I suppose, the end celebrated, but it wasn't the end.
But I think what we have is a propensity, if you will, to anything that involves slavery, okay, in this lily white 2020 world that we live in. We're like, whoa, 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 whoa. We can't talk about this. We can't even say anything about slavery. I applaud, after reading this story, I applaud this teacher for making these kids think.
Listen to this. That book challenged the romantic narrative of emancipation. It was much more complex and more nuanced than that. Freedom came at a cost.
Yes. It would be like saying if you were imprisoned, okay, and one day your sentence was over, your 20-year sentence was over or whatever, and they walked you out to the front gate, gave you your wallet back and the clothes that you came in 20 years ago.
See ya.
What would you do? Well, it's not like you're going to walk to the local grocery store and just apply for a job. This ain't Shawshank Redemption.
But one of the things I said to my daughter today was they still weren't free. And I pulled up that iconic photo in 1957 of that beautiful young black girl with her dress on and her hair is done and she's got her books in her hand. You remember mm-hmm. this photo?
I do.
And she is trying to walk to school. Mm-hmm. And what is in the background of that photo, Scott? It is one of the most iconic American photos in the history of the United States.
I believe the National Guard.
The National Guard, and screaming, angry, awful classmates
so what's
who did not want her to go into that school.
So what's wrong with this assignment then? It's thought-provoking. And isn't that what we want?
What age are they? What age are these kids?
It just said it was high school.
It's thought-provoking if you sit down and you explain and you have this conversation with kids and you show them that photo of that high school student who just wanted to go to class.
That has nothing to do with this assignment.
And the hatred. Yes, it does. And
no,
here's
it doesn't.
Why. Yes, it does. Because we all want to say in these glossed over history books, slaves were freed. End of chapter. Let's move on to the next chapter of history. And that's just not how it worked out.
And you're exactly right, Dana. And this teacher is telling you, do some research. That's not what happened.
Okay, so here's where I would have changed the assignment. Not what you would have done. What you say is, Scott, you need to do some research. What did these families that were ripped apart do?
Fair point.
Did they find one another again?
Fair point.
How many of them died of smallpox? You know, once they found the town that they were going to settle in, were they allowed to even go into the grocery store and buy food? The answer would be no.
But listen to the assignment. Let me read you the assignment again. Think very, very carefully, writes the teacher, about what your life would be like as a slave in 1865. You can't read or write, and you have never been off the plantation you work on. What would you do when you hear the news that you are free? What factors would play into the decision that you make?
Yes, but the problem
that's a great assignment.
But the problem that I have with that assignment is that they are assuming you had a choice. What would you do? Well, in many cases, the quote slave owner said to hell with emancipation. You're staying. You still have rent to work off. Or, you know, it just didn't, it makes it sound like there was this finite end to the horrors of slavery when there wasn't. And look, if at the end of that assignment they all figured that out, great.
I'm not arguing that the teacher is making that argument. I think the teacher is trying to point out the very things that you and I have just been saying. That it wasn't just like, well, we're free. Let's head to New York City and we'll get a job working in the grocery store.
Yeah.
That this was, okay, you're stuck in, you know, Toledo, Georgia, population 2,000, and all of a sudden you have to go make a life for yourself. The teacher, by the way, has been placed on leave. Because a student
felt
uncomfortable.
I don't know that we should be placing anyone on leave.
This teacher ought to get a damn award.
Well, I don't know that I would say that either.
576-7798. Yeah, freedom! Hey, don't forget, by the way, the cornhole tournament is a go. presented by Dana and Parks. Go to cornholekc.com. It is on Saturday, October 3rd, outside of Rieger's. They have selected two families of either fallen or wounded police officers that this money is going to take care of. Every penny goes to them. Not a penny goes to the foundation. Not a penny goes to KMBZ or Dana and Parks, because we don't want the money. If you want to join us, cornholekc.com. Okay? Let's go to Joey in Overland Park. Hello, Joey.
Oh, hi there. Hey, I normally agree with you, Dana, but I'm going to take a different approach on this one.
Sure.
I looked up a definition in Merriam-Webster, because I kind of had this thrown at me the other day, of empathy. And it says the action of understanding, being aware of, being sensitive to, and vicariously experiencing the feelings, thoughts, and experience of another, of either the past or the present, some blah, blah, blah. What I think the teacher was doing a great job of was teaching these students, or trying to teach these students, empathy. I think that would be a great thing to put yourself in another's shoes that had such a worse situation than we can even possibly imagine.
But isn't empathy, when I think of the difference between sympathy and empathy, sympathy is, I am so sad that you just lost a loved one. I know what that's like. And I know what that's like because I've lost a loved one. And empathy is, I know exactly what you're talking about because I've gone through exactly what you are talking about. Well, and all I'm saying is it's not really possible with slavery to have empathy.
No, because if I keep reading the definition, then it says, the past, the present, without having the feelings, thoughts, and experience fully communicated in an objectively explicit manner. Basically saying, you haven't been there. You can't possibly know exactly what they're going through, but you have to try to feel what they were feeling.
Okay.
And I think I don't think there's nearly enough of that, especially, I don't want to blame younger kids, but I mean, I think it keeps getting worse and worse every generation. Less empathy. And I think that's a great assignment to teach it.
Okay.
Hey, Joey, do appreciate the call. Thank you for making it.
Sure.
Be well. Sonia in Olathe. Sonia, hello.
Hey, how are you guys?
Yeah. Hi, good.
We're doing well. Thanks.
Rarity, I agree with you, Thought. I totally think this is an amazing assignment. I think it's great. I think it's, I understand, Dana, where you're coming from. But at the same time, I think that's the reason why she did it, to make them understand it's not what you thought it was. And I'm a black female. My kids are biracial. But I made sure that I had one graduate this year, that every year in elementary school, I went up to their school and I taught them about black history. And one of the stories that I read them was a story about a day without black people in it. And it goes through all of the different things that they would not have if black people didn't exist. So it made them understand and have better respect for black people. So I think if we taught them, if people understood what it was really like after that, then maybe they would understand systematic racism. They would understand all of these things that we're trying to do now.
Sonia, did you say that you are a black woman? Is that correct?
I am.
Okay. Let me throw this on the board here and tell me if any of this sticks. I think if this was a college professor who threw out the exact same assignment, we would be heralding or complimenting him or her because he or she made the class think. But when it comes, for whatever reason, for whatever reason, when it comes to high schoolers, we just want to tell them what to think. We don't want to make them think.
I would agree with you. I would definitely agree with you, but I think that's part of the problem, that we're not taught to think anymore. We can't think for ourselves. People have to tell us when we're supposed to be offended.
Sure. And we have a kid comes home from this class in the story that I was just reading out of Iowa City, and the kid says, well, I felt uncomfortable. Well, good.
Well, yeah, and to Sonia, to that, I would say everyone needs to feel that uncomfort when we are talking about the ugliest part of our history.
Sure. Good that you felt uncomfortable, but that doesn't mean we have to suspend a teacher.
I am with you on that. I do not think anyone should have been suspended here.
But if this was, and I think you would agree with me on
Dana,
if this was a college professor, we would be saying, oh my God, what a brilliant assignment. You really earned your keep here. You made these kids think. But when we do it in high school, God forbid you make the kids think instead of telling them what they have to think. And I think therein lies the difference.
Coming up on the program and in hour four of the podcast, if you are listening in the rebroadcast hour, would you raise your hand to roll up your sleeve for an experimental vaccine? We will speak with a local woman who is patient number 8 and did just that.
Oh, wow. Okay. She's Dana Wright. That guy over there is Sam Stevie. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.